Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Or you can find us on the web at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to remind you who are followers of Christ about who you are. For those of you who don't know Jesus, I want to tell you about what he wants for you. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and it's kind of a strange passage. It's a hard passage to get our minds around, but I'm hoping by the end of this time together that you will get what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. The passage is found in Romans chapter 6, and I'm starting to read at verse 6. For we know that our old selves was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your bodies to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And verse 17 says this, But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm going to play some music from the Gaither Vocal Band, Peace on the Rock, and then I want to tell you a story. picture in the passage of Scripture that we just read is of two people. One whom is a slave to sin, another who is a slave to righteousness. This morning, I would like you to use your imagination with me, and I would like to put this passage of Scripture in story form. Listen carefully as I tell you this allegory, and you may just see yourself in the story. Well, once upon a time, there were two farms, and they were situated side by side. One farm was a family farm. The father oversaw the workings on the farm and gave directions so that the work would be done. His children carried out his directions, and that was how the work was accomplished. Sometimes the children were lazy, and sometimes they didn't do what they were told, and when that happened, the state of the farm showed it. But for the most part, this was a well-run family farm, which produced all sorts of healthy fruit and food. If you look far enough back into the history of the family, you would see that each of the father's children was adopted. But that never seemed to enter into family life. If you were part of the family, you were part of the family. There were no second-class citizens. The motto in the family and the reality in the family was love. All the children loved their father. And for the most part, they loved one another. When they failed to love one another, a frown came over the father's face. They were reminded, sometimes in subtle and sometimes in not too subtle terms, that this was to be a family of love. Well, beside the family farm was another farm. This farm seemed to be owned by a conglomerate. At least it was run not as a family farm making a life, but as a business making a product. All that mattered was output. The crops they grew were different than their neighbors. They grew wheat, cocoa, refined other things, and there's a number of suspicious crops. Well, the labor on this farm was carried out by slaves. Some worked in the fields tilling the plants. Some worked in a warehouse on the farm processing the plants. If you had a chance to talk to one of these slaves and asked, well, how did you become a slave? They would say, well, it just happened. I got addicted to pleasing myself, and in order to keep up the habit, I went into debt and the boss of this here farm, and I ended up as his slave. Well, the boss was a cruel man, a harsh man. He had no mercy on his slaves. He would beat them until their backs bled and their hearts became hard. The sting of his lash, the mercilessness of the pace, made the slaves into people who avoided their own hearts for fear they might see who they were. They were burdened down with tasks on a never-ending treadmill. There was no chance of escape. They were slaves for life. The slaves were required to sample the products they produced. This threw them from one end of the pleasure spectrum to the other. They experienced extreme pleasure, and then they would plunge to despair, where they would desperately look for another hit of pleasure. They lived a life that was meaningless. You see, sin is a hard taskmaster. Well, it just so happened that it was the fall of the season and time for plowing to be done. One of the sons from the family farm was dispatched to plow the field that bordered on the property line between the two farms. Just across the fence was a slave performing the same task, except the slave was being beaten by the taskmaster, and he was trying to recover from another pleasure despair ride. When the taskmaster finally left, the son walked up to the fence and struck up a conversation with the slave. He said, why do you let him treat you like that? He calls you all sorts of names. He beats you, and he's unforgiving. The slave retorted, well, are you any better off? Here we are working side by side, doing similar work. There's no difference between you and me. The son answered, ah, but there is. I do what I do because I love my father. He is such a wonderful person. He's done so much for me. I do his work because I want to. I do it out of a sense of gratitude, not out of a sense of fear. And there's a big difference. Well, the conversation went back and forth, and as the son and the slave compared lives, eventually the slave wanted to end the conversation because, as he told the son, even if I do see things your way, there is nothing I can do. Once a slave, always a slave. The son said, well, that's not necessarily so. Then he lifted up his shirt and showed the slave his back. There you could see the scars that the whips of sin had left, but they had been healed. And the slave said, well, I don't understand. My contract says that I will be a slave until I die. And I've checked the law and there is no escape clause. The son said, that's what my contract said as well. But as you can see, I am no longer a slave. I have been taken in as a son in this man's house. And I know you. He will take you in if you ask him to. Well, the slave said, well, that is what I want. Will you go get your father? And that's exactly what the son did. He went and brought the father to the slave. Well, the father told the slave, I would be happy to adopt you. In fact, I never turn down anyone who wants to be part of my family. But there is this thing about your contract to your taskmaster. You are right. It is a lifetime contract. But let's just say that you were to die right now. Your contract would be fulfilled. Is that not true? The slave answered, well, that is true. But if I were to be killed right now, what would be the point? Well, the father went on, let's just say that you were to die right now and then be resurrected from the dead so that you were given a new life and that old addiction to self would be gone. Instead, you would want to do what is right. The reality of it is that instead of being a slave to sin, you would be a slave to righteousness. It's a new kind of life. If I could guarantee you that new life, would you go for it? Well, said the slave, if you guarantee it, but you know if you kill me and then you don't bring me back to life, what good would a guarantee be? The father, being patient, said, well, you simply need to believe that I will do what I said I would do. And that is what it comes down to. Do you believe me or not? Will you put your faith in me? But let me tell you how it works. I have a son who is not like the others you see on the farm. He is my only begotten son. If you can understand it, he and I are one. He never was a slave, but he went through this death life thing before you, and he will take you through the process. In fact, what I am asking you to do is to die with him so that you can be raised again to life with him. Well, the slave considered all that he had been told. He came to the conclusion that the life he had wasn't worth holding on to, and he found that he really did believe what the father was promising. So he said to the father, I want to become your son. What do I do? The father said, well, do you see that hill over yonder? I want you to walk over there. There you will find my only begotten son. I want you to give your life to him. Well, the slave not only walked, he ran. But when he climbed the hill, he found something that he was not expecting. There was a man hanging on a cross. The slave walked up to the cross and knelt down. He didn't know what to do except what he had been told, so he said, God's son, I give my life to you. I don't like my old life as a slave to sin, so here is my life, or what's left of it. Well, it's hard to explain what happened next. It was if, for the first time, the slave saw the awfulness of his sin. He saw all that he had done. He saw how he had not only hurt himself, but others. And then in a sudden shock of realization, he saw that his life of selfishness, his life of rebellion, his life of sin had put this undeserving man on a cross. The weight of sin crushed him until he wept. He realized that his sin went to his very core. He was a slave to sin because at the core of who he was a sinner. And in anguish, he cried out, O wretched man that I am, who can free me from this body of sin? But then something else happened. He looked up at the sun on the cross and saw compassion on his face. And there was something amazing that happened. It was as if this burden of sin was sucked right out of him. He could feel the man on the cross taking his sin upon himself. But if the sin went to the very core of who he was, and if it was sucked out, how could he survive? He knew he couldn't, and he died. If you were a sinner to the core and the sin is removed, there's nothing left to sustain life. If the slave could have looked up at the cross at that moment, he would have seen that the son had died too. And in that place of death, time became meaningless. No one knows what happened during that moment when time hung in suspension. But there was a flash of light, and the son was no longer on the cross. Instead, he was standing over the corpse of the slave, and then he spoke the words, Arise, I give my life to you. And just as God had breathed life into Adam and Eve, so the son's life was breathed into what used to be the slave. The slave awoke. The bitterness of grief over his sin was gone. It was replaced with joy of the new life. And he was no longer a slave to sin. He had died. The contract had been fulfilled. The son had done the work so that he could be free. He did not understand all about this new life. All that he knew was that he had a new life. Well, the son took the slave by the hand and led him down the hill to find the father. And as they walked together, these strange words echoed through the mind of the former slave. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, the Son led the former slave to the Father. And when the Father saw him from afar off, he opened his arms and he ran towards him. And when he got to him, he hugged him and he said, "My son." With that, the former slave broke down and cried, for he understood that the Father loved him. He understood that he had been accepted into the family. The love that he had been told about became a reality. Well, life certainly changed after that. Fitting into a functioning family is an adventure, and there is a learning curve. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what is expected. But the one thing, maybe the only thing that the family had in common, was that they loved the Father, and that was enough. Well, the new son had also to learn new farming techniques. See, growing healthy food is a lot different than growing weed. But he was starting to catch on to the fact that if he followed the Father's direction, the fruit grew in time. One day, the son was working in the field that was on the property line between the two farms. He was working alongside the fence, just going about his business, when right behind him on the other side of the fence, a whip cracked and the old taskmaster yelled at him, "What are you doing over there? Get over here and tend to my crop." And he had been so conditioned by the sound of the whip for so many years that before he knew it, he jumped over the fence and he was tending the poppy plants. When the day was over, he felt like a person in no man's land. He knew that he didn't belong in the bunkhouse with the other slaves, but he felt very sheepish about going back to the father's house. But he asked himself the question, "Where else can I go?" So he hopped over the fence and went back to the father's house. And there standing at the door was the father. He wanted to sneak away. He wanted to hide, but he remembered the love of the father. So he went up to him and told him the story. He said, "I didn't do the work you assigned to me today because, well, I hopped the fence and I worked in the neighbor's field. Please forgive me, father." And the father said, "I forgive you." Then he explained to him, "Listen, you are my son. Your old taskmaster has no rights over you. Your contract was fulfilled when you died with my only begotten son. The taskmaster can yell and scream all he wants, but you don't have to listen to him. He no longer has mastery over you." Old habits die hard. But the son soon found out that the crack of the whip didn't mean anything if he was on the right side of the fence. He also discovered that the taskmaster had work for him to do and the father had work for him to do. What work he did just depended on who he listened to. As the seasons passed, he was able to taste from the fruit he was growing. When he tasted of this fruit, he found how good it was. He decided there and then to go and dedicate himself to being a fruit grower. He didn't have time to farm on the other side of the fence. He had good food to grow. There are some of you today who are slaves to sin. The contract with sin has never been broken. You've never become a child of God. But the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name." Today, he would like you to come. It does mean giving your life to God. It does mean turning from your sins. But it also means becoming a child of God. If you would like to become a child of God, then I would encourage you to pray a prayer something like this. "Dear Father, I am a sinner. I've lived apart from you. And I ask for your forgiveness. I understand that Jesus died for my sin and took my sin upon himself. And I ask that you would put your new life in me. Thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for making me your child." Some of you are here and you're thinking and you're still conditioned to respond to the crack of the whip. You've given your life to Christ, but when the taskmaster of sin says jump, almost before you know what you're going to do, you're jumping. Go back and remember who you belong to. Sin is no longer your master. Today, I would invite you once again to present your bodies as instruments of righteousness, to do the work of the Father. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. There are some of you who are doing a good job tending the fruit trees. You are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. I would urge you to keep on keeping on. Keep working for the Father. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for us. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you receive all who come to you into your family. Lord, I pray for those today who are making a decision about coming into your family. I pray that they would pray a prayer about receiving you into their heart and giving their lives to you. Lord, may they experience the joy of full salvation. I pray for those, Lord, who are at a place where they keep on jumping over the fence. I pray, Lord, that you give them the grace to listen to your voice and not to the voice of the old taskmaster. I pray for those who are bearing great fruit, that you would bless them again and again as they produce the fruit that you have called them to produce. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement. And keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help us with that, we would really appreciate it. You can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Your giving helps us stay on the air. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and the ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, and sign up for it, and it'll be sent right to your email inbox. We know that God will bless you through this ministry. Well, may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. As we go from here, we're going to listen to Matt Redman, and he's going to sing the song Friend of Sinners. It's from his album, The Friendship and the Fear.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.